Welcome. This is Jan Rees, Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, and I am sitting here on this beautiful evening with three volunteers from our coalition, and we're going to talk about Juno Suicide Prevention and Means Reduction this evening. I'd like to first introduce our volunteers and thank you for being here. We'll start with Walter.
Yeah, hi. My name is Walter Majoris, and I've been with the coalition since it started for over 11 years. And at first, I was there as part of Juno Youth Services, where I used to work. But for the last 3 years, I've been retired, and I'm now part of the coalition as a volunteer.
My name is April Resendiz. I'm a nurse at the Juno Public Health Center, and I've been working with the coalition for about 6 years now.
Hi, my name is Sam Trivett. I've been involved with the coalition as a volunteer for almost 11 years, and I'm also a suicide loss survivor. So that's been part of my wife's and my involvement with the coalition for all these years.
And thank you. We appreciate you being here this evening. One of the things we're going to start with is the history of our coalition and some of the work that we have done. Sam, can you tell us about that?
Sure, I'd be glad to. The Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition began as the Juno Community Suicide Prevention Task Force, long name, in 2008. The staff at the Juno School District, along with representatives of various local agencies and community members, saw the need to provide information on suicide prevention at the local high schools. So the Juno School District staff applied for a grant from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and received funding to implement a curriculum called Signs of Suicide for all district high schools. Over the next 3 years, the task force successfully implemented the SOS curriculum in all Juno high schools and began presenting a version of the curriculum to middle school students, developed suicide prevention brochures, targeting specific at-risk groups, organized suicide gatekeeper and other training for agency support staff, developed the two primary local websites that serve as resources in the Juno community today. And those two websites, are www.junosuicideprevention.org, and the other one is www.junomentalhealth.org. In March of 2012, the task force changed its name to the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition to reflect the group's broad-based ongoing commitment to suicide prevention. Who is JCSP? The coalition has a tiny staff of exceptionally hardworking, dedicated, competent people carrying out the work of the coalition. JPSC was funded by grants from the State of Alaska, Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Behavioral Health, and extremely importantly, now also from the Juno Community Foundation. We thank them profusely for their support. The coalition consists of over 100 community members, of about which 30 are actively involved with the coalition activities monthly. Of those, there is a core group of extremely diverse, rich in experience, full-time employees and retirees like Walter and I, who do much of the work of the coalition. The coalition appreciates and understands the value of science and research on developing, quote, best practices, unquote, in the various facets of suicide prevention, be it postvention, public awareness and training, school-based services, or means reduction. The core group counts among its members active or retired epidemiologists / researcher, public health nurses, city manager, Alaska Native elder leader, school superintendent, juvenile justice staff, behavioral health workers and managers, substance abuse experts, social services workers, social services manager / executive, corrections administrator / executive, professional counselors, school staff, survivors of suicide loss, and survivor of suicide attempt. Much of the work of the coalition is done in small groups with a substantial number of hours by our volunteers. Beginning about a year ago, over a year ago actually, the coalition began working on the issue of means reduction. We found a significant body of relevant and practical research information available at national, state levels, at universities, not-for-profit groups, and other partnerships. There is so much available, it's amazing. Also, there's a lot of gun safety and other relevant activities going on in Juneau now that will fit into our efforts, including firearms dealers, firearm safety trainers, not-for-profit groups, etc. Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition is working on integrating with these groups right now. We're hoping to get much of our work on means reduction on our website very soon. We have lots to share.
Thank you, Sam. So, Walter, can you tell us what's changed over the last 6 months that involved means reduction? How was it introduced and what's going on?
Sure. And maybe a good place to start is giving a definition of what means reduction is. And what means reduction is, is if you know someone, either as a family member or a friend, who is going through a mental health crisis and is feeling suicidal, it's doing everything that you can to separate them from any lethal means that could result in a successful suicide. So the examples would be firearms, medications, alcohol and drugs, to do whatever you can to make sure that that person does not have access to those means during their time of crisis. There's two things that are important about our approach. And one is that we're working with people on a voluntary basis. In other words, there are laws now that are being put in place in various states, and there was even, I think, a bill before the Alaska legislature that would allow authorities to take firearms away from a person who's feeling suicidal and do that on an involuntary basis. But that's not our approach. We want to work with family members to and friends to get people to voluntarily, you know, give up access to those lethal means. And the other part that's important is that this is temporary. This is not permanently removing access to those items, but just as long as the crisis is going on, and the crisis oftentimes will pass and things will get better, and at that time it won't be an issue for the people to have regain access to those items. So you know, another good question, though, is, you know, why are we even focusing on means reduction? And so I wanted to just give some sort of facts about suicide, and particularly in Alaska, and, you know, that gives you, you know, more of the reasons why it's so important to focus on this area. First of all, Alaska has been number one or number two in suicide rate, you know, for the last, you know, several years. I think currently that we're number one or number two in the nation. We have our suicide rate is twice the national average. And a fact that I learned this past year that I wasn't even aware of is that suicide is the leading cause of death for Alaskans ages 10 to 64. And firearms are the leading suicide method in Alaska and in the U.S. And another fact that people may not be aware of is there are more deaths through firearms for suicide than there are for homicide. So that's important background information. It's also what we learned is that you would think that if somebody was going to, say, try to shoot themselves or, you know, take their own life by firearms and didn't have access to it, that they would seek out another means, you know, such as pills or something like that. But actually, research shows that there's very little means substitution. So people who would normally use firearms do not generally seek out other means if those firearms are not available. And the last important fact is that 90% of suicide attempters who survive do not go on to die by suicide. So for all these reasons, you know, it makes it important that we focus on means reduction. And again, you know, to make sure that when people are going through a short-term intensive crisis, that family and friends are able to, you know, provide support to them and, the analogy that we use sometimes is like if you have a friend who has drank too much, you would either, you know, ask them to voluntarily give up their keys, call a taxi, have a designated driver. It's a method of risk reduction. So means reduction is very similar in that sense, but instead of, you know, alcohol, it's about, you know, the risk of someone taking their own life. So that's a little bit of the information about what means reduction is and why it's important that we're focusing on it at this time.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that it's a recommendation for families that if you're concerned that a member of your household may be suicidal or suffering from depression, that there are steps that we can take to help keep them safe. As you did mention, that the top three means in Alaska are medication, alcohol, and firearms. And a number of studies have shown and indicated that when lethal means are less available, that the suicide rates decline. Many suicide attempts occur with little planning during a short-term crisis. We also know that intent isn't all that determines whether a person lives or dies. Means also matters. And that 90%, as you said, of attempts who survive do not go on to die by suicide. April, can you share with us what you do in the community and what you've seen with means reduction?
Yeah, definitely. A couple of years ago, actually, the coalition worked really hard with healthcare providers all over town to really encourage healthcare providers, whether that be doctors, nurses, counselors, school nurses, to really ask people coming into their clinics for whatever it was, preventative care, a sick visit, if they're feeling suicidal. And if the person says yes or gives any indication that they might be feeling suicidal, to really work on them with safety planning. And so asking those questions, do you have a plan? And if they do they actually have the means to carry out that plan? Because someone might have a plan but no actual identified ways to access the means, but if they do have those means, they have a plan, that's going to be a really high-risk person. And so starting that conversation with them in what's hopefully a safe space for them on how they can store those means, and also what maybe the provider can do. So we've talked a little bit about medications, and providers can talk with their patients about how they could have less medications on hand or who's a safe patient person to keep those medications, or even medications they might switch to or changes to make, where they would have less risk of having lethality by overdosing on those. So really talking with people and encouraging people, even if they aren't in that crisis situation, you know, maybe sometimes they've thought about suicide, but right now they're in a good place, really still encouraging them to have that safety plan in place. So in those moments of crisis, because we do know a lot of times when someone is acutely suicidal, it's just that, it's acute, it's short term. Maybe a few hours from now, a day or two from now, they're going to be in a better place. Whatever that short term trigger was will have passed. And but we want to get them through that point. And so really just asking those questions and talking with people, planning ahead. And that's especially true, too, with teens. I work a lot with teens, and I know a lot of our coalition members doing are really focused on safety in the schools. And talking with some of our school counselors, medication pills is one of the most common things our teens here are going to turn to for suicide attempts, because they're easy to access, whether they're on medications, their families are, they have a friend who is. So if you are someone who has medications in your house, keeping them locked up, if your children are on medications, really watching them, and if you have any concerns, making sure that they have access to only a couple days worth at a time so that that doesn't become an option for them. Because like Walter mentioned, people aren't going to switch. If they have this plan and they have made their plan that they're going to attempt suicide using pills, if they don't have access to those pills, they're not going to immediately come up with another option. They'll get through that point and hopefully not attempt at all.
Dr. Matthew Miller, the associate director of the Harvard Injury Control Research Center, stated there are two ways to reduce suicide. You can make it harder for them to die in an attempt, or you can heal the underlying distress. The idea to restrict methods that are the most lethal to provide a second chance. Sam, do you want to give us your thought on that?
Sure. And one of the things that's real clear, that if you think a person is severely depressed or might be suicidal, it's critical that you determine that by asking them. And we used to have the old wives' tale, I guess some people would call it, that to ask someone if they're suicidal is to put the thought in their head. And we've dispelled that notion decades ago. And so it is not going to put the thought in their head. And what a lot of people need to know is that somebody really cares. So the critical thing is you need to ask them. And if someone tells you that they are at risk of suicide, you need to make sure that you have access to one of our cards that will give you the number of the Bartlett Regional Hospital. We have our counselors list on the website. There's always the option of 911, but the main thing is to make sure that they get separated from any means they have. So another important question, again, is how would you take your life if you decided to do a suicide? And most people will tell you, well, obviously I'll use a firearm, or I plan to take my car and go over the bridge, or whatever the case may be. And the important thing is to separate them from that, and you need to get a hold of somebody. If they want support, if they want counseling, that is available. There are plenty of people in this town that are willing to help them. But you, as a responsible person, need to reach out to those people in the community that offer the support. I'm not a psychologist. My degree is in psychology, but I'm not a professional counselor. And I would do that if I knew a person was there. And I've done it a number of times since I've been involved with the coalition. And guess what? It works. That's what people need to know. You don't need to be afraid of it. It's not a fun thing to do. But if you care about the life of the person, you have to be willing to ask the question.
Can I build on that a little bit, Sam?
You know, sure.
Because one of the things that we're really trying to emphasize is that suicide prevention is just not something that's done by our coalition or by professionals in the community. Everyone in the community has a role in suicide prevention, you know, and a lot of it is, as Sam just said, is asking the tough question. If you have a friend or a family member, you know, it certainly happened to me, you know, with a family member, then asking the tough question about, are you thinking about killing yourself? You know, and if the person says yes, then you know, your job is not to provide the counseling, but to get them to the help that they need to be able to deal with the crisis that they're going through. But and one of the things that we do, and Jan could speak a lot more to that I can, is we offer a number of trainings for people in the community to help them feel better, you know, in the same way as you do with, like, you know, first aid training or something like that. You know, we offer training so that people will feel more comfortable with asking that tough question and making that referral for somebody who's feeling suicidal.
Yeah, I would like to follow up with what Walter said. The Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition offers free training to businesses, individuals, or any group in Juno. You can contact us on our website, or you can find information on junomentalhealth.org. And some of the things that we're doing for our outreach, as Sam began, is we're reaching out to the school districts. We're going to continue those programs of suicide prevention in our schools, in our middle schools and high schools this fall. And we're also going to be on campus at UAS to offer support to college students as well. Some of the other things that we are offering is we're working with the Armory and Gun Clubs to help educate everyone on our mission, reaching out to them and providing our message of means reduction. Letting them know that we are not a part of take your firearms. We advocate for firearms. I was born and raised in Colorado and raised in a family with my uncles and my father being a veteran of the Vietnam War. And so I wondered at the time that I was hired was, what is Colorado, which is also a big hunting capital, gun capital, if you will, a gun-strong community. What are they doing for means reduction? And when I looked it up, I found that the Rocky Mountain veterans, they actually are giving out education and they're giving out information that the suicide prevention has met with the gun communities. And they even have some gun shop owners who are actually on their websites with videos talking about times that someone they knew was in a crisis, or the one video that we have posted on our Facebook that the person was actually in a crisis himself. And he states that he appreciated that someone reached out to him and that someone voluntarily asked him if he would allow them to store his firearm for that crisis period. His was 24 hours, and then it was returned to him, and he's thankful for that. So that's one of the goals, if you will, for myself this year, is to get more means reduction, getting the conversation started, being able to reach out to more members of our community. I recently met with our Veterans for Peace, explaining to them what we were doing and what we are doing and continuing to do for means reduction. We were able to use some of our fundraising to get new means reduction brochures that we're giving out to the public. You can also contact us if you're interested in getting some of that information. And Hunter Safety, this October, I've contacted the state, and they're going to allow us to give our means reduction during the Hunter Safety classes that are being held at the school level. So that's also getting some participation. Once you get the conversation started and people are talking, it takes away the stigma and allows each person to present their side. One of the things that help us support this is the National Shooting Sports Foundation, and they actually teach whether you're a new gun owner in search of training or an experienced marksman looking to support others, being safe with firearms is your responsibility. Well, that's also what we're promoting with means reduction by saying being safe with your firearm or helping someone to be safe during that crisis. As April mentioned, firearms are not the only means, the top three means in Alaska being medication, alcohol, and firearms. So with medications, we're reminding everyone to not keep a lethal dose at home if someone is in a crisis. Your doctor, your pharmacist, they can help you decide how much of the medication to have at home. They can help you to determine the safe quantities for the medication that so you know what to keep on hand and to be able to help someone during that crisis. Alcohol, many of the suicides that have been completed in the state of Alaska involved alcohol. So alcohol can both increase the chance that a person makes an unwise choice and increase the likelihood of attempting a suicide when they are depressed. So keeping small quantities at home, or more importantly, keeping your alcohol locked in a cabinet, especially during that crisis, can also help your friends and family. April, what do you think the public health can do to help support individuals? Can they come to you and talk to you about means reduction, or is there anything that you offer as education for means reduction?
I think mostly is, again, just in all our one-to-one interactions, talking with people about their mental health and how to stay safe. I know we've kept some of the gun locks that Suicide Prevention Coalition has, and talking with parents about gun safety. We're always happy to talk with people. I know we've been involved with the schools, with the sources of strength that really helps kids to look at what their resources are in the community, what their internal sources of strength and their external community sources of strength are. And I know I've used that model with some of the adults I see, too, just because I think it's such a great resource for looking at that. And then talking with people about that safe alcohol and really educating on what's a safe amount, what's kind of where's the level that you're going to lose that inhibition and make those choices that you might not make otherwise. Definitely. But, yeah, we're always happy to talk with people and reach out in the community.
Yeah, I know when I go into the community and I do suicide prevention trainings, it's not something that everyone feels comfortable talking about, but people have been very receptive in our community to listen, and I really appreciate that. One of the things that I try to stay focused on is to try to make it to where anyone, as Sam had said, anyone can actually ask the questions or know how to help during that crisis. I'm not asking someone to be a professional, just as Sam discussed. So I train individuals to question the person that's in the crisis, to ask them directly, are you feeling suicidal? Do you have a means? Do you have a plan? Persuading them to get the help, staying with them during that time while you're persuading them, whether it be to take them to Bartlett or to, you know, help them get in touch with a counselor, and then referring them to our community resources. We have a lot of individual businesses and resources that can be found on our JunoMentalHealth.org that can help someone to get more assistance when they're in a crisis. Sam, do you want to speak about that?
Yeah, just a quick story is that we had had a national expert on suicide prevention and dealing with loss after suicide up here. He was a licensed psychologist, taught at the university level, had been involved in suicide prevention efforts for over 30 years. And we helped put on a training program here in Juneau when he was up here in August a number of years ago. And we had over 200 people in the room for the training. Most of them were licensed counselors and social workers. To show you how difficult it is to ask the question, part of his training was he had people turn to the person next to them and practice asking the question. And an awful lot of those professional people had never asked it before and had a hard time asking the question. And he let us practice a little bit and got used to it. I personally have done that with a number of young kids after we lost our son to suicide. We were concerned about quite a few of the kids. And I had frank talks with many of them in my house over the next couple of months. And the kids really appreciated being asked once they got past the shock of someone doing that, of course. But so it is a hard thing to do, but it's what saves people's lives. And if you care about your friend or family or whoever it is that you're concerned about, please take the time to ask them.
Wonderful. We're going to be taking a short break, but I want to close in this session by reminding you to ask directly about feelings of suicide. Talk about suicide to the person. Make sure that you know how they are feeling, and it's the first step to preventing suicide. Let that person know that you care. Means reduction means to keep the person that is in the crisis away from anything that may cause harm, such as pills, ropes, knives, vehicles, or firearms. Stay with the person. If you have identified that they're in immediate crisis, call 911 or take them to Bartlett Hospital. Make sure you keep your eyes on that person at all time and try to get a professional involved whenever you can to help assist. Offer a message of hope. I think that's one of the most important things for us, by letting others know that we do care, that there are people in our community who want to help them, who are there, and to try to connect them with that help. If you are feeling that you are in a crisis or you need to talk, you're having a stressful day, you can contact our Alaska Care Line, 877-266-4357. You can text the crisis text line, 741-741. As Sam mentioned, we have our JunoMentalHealth.org. We want to remind everyone that this is Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, and we do care.